Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour is a service where you honor Christ. We have three things in mind: glorify God, win the lost to the Lord Jesus, and comfort God's people. That's our goal and that's our aim. And our sermon topic today is going to be help for the new year, because this being the first Sunday in the year, we just praise God and we thank Him that we can start the year, and we pray that God will bless all of you and give you a happy new year. So we have some letters. We always have letters, and we like to share them with you. And sometimes I think they like the letters better than the sermon, but you're going to get the sermon anyway, so because I don't want to pass that up. But here's some letters. Here's one from St. Petersburg, Florida. May God continue to bless you with the ability to preach. We watch you every Saturday, no matter what game is on TV. When your program comes on, off goes the game. My, am I ever proud of those people. I'm saving that letter because most of these men, off goes the sermon and on comes the game. And here they've got it just right. Praise the Lord. Here is a letter that we've got from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Thank you for the privilege to give to God Almighty. Bless everyone in the Christian Worship Hour. And I thought that's very interesting because he talks about the privilege of giving to God. And it is a privilege. And I'm going to tell you, if you love God, you'll want to give. Now, you can give and not love. You know, you can give and not love. We do it with the Internal Revenue Service every year. At least I do. I don't love giving to the IRS. But when you love somebody, you can't help but give. You just got to give. And when we love Jesus, we're going to give. Praise the Lord. Here's Worthington, Minnesota. And I want you to don't miss this. It says, Dear Harold, I believe your voice is getting stronger. You're getting better with age. I am 102 years old, and I need your sermons in Christian love. And how does he sign it? Harold. His name is Harold. And I'm very jealous of him. I'm only 94. He's 102, but he's got that name, Harold. Don't you just love that name? I am so glad my mother named me Harold, because that's what everybody calls me. And if I had my way, I'd have my middle name Harold. And here's a man, 102 years old, Worthington, Minnesota. Harold was. God bless you, brother. And I know we won't get it at our at our age, we're not going to get to see each other here, but over there, won't we have a party. Here's one from Salem, Oregon. It's from a prisoner. And we hear from a lot of prisons. I'll bet you we hear from 20 different prisons across the United States. This person writes, Sometimes I feel as if God isn't here, but I never give up faith. And then something happens to let me know God is right here with me. Thank you for everything. And that's what you prisoners, what you need to remember is God is with you. Prison bars doesn't make a bit of difference to the Holy Ghost. And the Lord Jesus will be with you. St. Paul was in prison, and Jesus, he wrote some of the most beautiful books of the Bible from prison. So yes, Jesus is with us wherever we are. And then one more that I want to share is, God bless you, Pastor. I gave my heart and soul to God. I will listen to the Christian Worship Hour. And I want to tell you something. All of you that support this ministry, we've been on now for 38 years. And God has always provided for us. And when somebody comes to the Lord or somebody's helped, and you've got an investment in it, and praise God for all who stood by for all these years. Now, this person, what did we do? We wrote to them the day we got the letter and congratulated them on accepting the dear Lord Jesus. And then we sent literature to help them, and it would be follow-up and get them started on the way. So we just were really happy to have all these letters, and we just thank you. And maybe you'd like to write. I'm going to give the address, because maybe you'd like to write to us. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you have some thought you'd like to share with us. You write to us. It's the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I just hope that you'll write. We just love to hear from you. And if you have a spiritual question, then we'll try to answer that. So God bless you. Now, our sermon today is entitled Hope for Help for the New Year. And we start out in the new year, and what does it hold for us? What are we going to have to face? And dear Lord, we don't have any idea. And if we did know, many times we couldn't do anything about it anyway. So God in His mercy just keeps it from us, and He takes us a day at a time. But the Lord Jesus knows the future. And in John chapter 10, and if you have your Bibles, you turn. I know some of you get your Bibles and worship with us. You turn to John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10. Leave the Bible open because we're going to look at a lot of those verses in the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel. And in this gospel, Jesus is telling us things that will help us for the new year and that they will help us through life. He talks about three things. He says, I am the door, I am the shepherd, I am the Son of God. Those three, we're going to look at those three things because they all help us as we come through this world. And you know, when Jesus says, I am, that's a word for God. You remember that Moses was in the wilderness and God asked him to go to Pharaoh. And Moses says, by what authority can I go and tell him, I am sent you? And when Jesus said, I am, every Jew in Israel knew exactly what he was doing. He was saying, God, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. So he starts by saying in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. And so when he's talking about the door of the sheep, he is talking about a little sheepfold. And every person in Israel knew all about it because there were people that had sheep and goats, and they put them in the flocks into the fold at night. And it would be an enclosure made up of stones. And then on the top of the stones would be briars and sharp things so that wolves couldn't jump through and get over the top of it. And then it had one door, except that the door didn't have wood and the door didn't have hinges. As a matter of fact, there wasn't a literal door there. You know what the door was? It was the shepherd. He would lie in that doorway so that no sheep could go out, no wolf could come in. He is the door. Jesus, then he says, I am the door, verse 9. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. In other words, the only way into the fold was one way. The only way into the fold, the only way into the kingdom, the only way into heaven is one way, Jesus. It is not the church, and I love the church. I've been preaching 71 years. I love the church, but the church can't save you. A ritual can't save you. Good works can't save you. Money can't save you. Holding your breath or being good to your neighbor. There's only one way into heaven, and it is Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. You know, there's people teaching around now that, there's a lot of ways to heaven. And heaven is like a city on a hill, and there's a lot of roads going up the mountainside of that city. Well, I'm going to tell you, they're dead wrong. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. And so the way is a person. The way, the door is Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. He'll be saved from his sins. He'll be saved for eternity. That's the reason Jesus came. He says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so here he is, and he's coming for us, and he loves us. And he is the way to God. So he says, if I'm the door, you can go, you'll be saved if you enter into that sheepfold. And I'll tell you how you do it. You just said, Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. He knows it. He wants you to confess it. And then just say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart, not my head. The devil knows about Jesus in his head. In my heart, and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can. That's repentance. Jesus taught repentance. And I'll follow you. I'll make you the Lord of my life, dear Jesus. And then you thank him for taking away your sins. And you have been born again the moment you ask Jesus, call on the name of the Lord. And so he says, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. And then what did he say? He shall go in and out and find pasture. You see, if in John 8, verse 36, Jesus says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And when we have Jesus Christ, we have full freedom and joy and happiness, and we come and we go. Now, the entrance into that door is narrow, but once you enter through it, it broadens out and you have fullness of life. Now, the world says, I don't want to be given up my liberty. I want liberty. I want to be free. I'm footloose and fancy free. Ever hear that? Poor souls. But so they enter into the broad road, the broad gate, but it narrows down, down, down. And pretty soon they don't have freedom at all. And they're taken up by fear, or they're taken up by prejudice, or they're taken up by evil habits, or they're taken up by anger, or the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and the love of money. God only knows, and they're slaves. And they don't have freedom at all. But when I have Jesus, beautiful, wonderful Jesus, it opens a whole new vista, whole new world, and I have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And notice what he says. If any man, any person, it doesn't matter who you are, you can come to Jesus. And there is no, and so people say, oh, is that possible? I've sinned terribly. I think maybe I committed the unpardonable sin. I want to tell you about the unpardonable sin. You couldn't commit it if you wanted to, because it was a sin that could be committed only when Jesus was here in the flesh. Can't be committed. And so you think maybe, oh, God wouldn't have to want me. But you know what Jesus said? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come in all of your sins. Then you start to clean up a little bit, see? But don't clean up and then come. Come the way you are. Like one old pastor said, God doesn't clean his fish till he catches them. So you come to Jesus, and he'll clean you up, help you get cleaned up. And so if you're outside the fold of doing today, it is because it's your own doing. Now, maybe you've never heard the way of salvation before, so this is the first time you heard it. But you will be only can enter that way unless you want to come in, unless you personally decide to do it. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. I always say the wife first, because usually the wife comes to Jesus first. I've been in the work 71 years. 9 times out of 10, maybe a higher percentage than that, that wife will come to Jesus, and then she'll try to get her husband to come. And sometimes he comes, many times he comes, but some of them he just gets stubborn. And he isn't going to come, and he's not going to do it. And she prays for him, and she begs him, and she makes him nice meals and does his washing and cooking and everything else, and he sits there like a bump on the log. Now, if you don't enter that fold, it's your doing. And I'm going to tell you something else. Remember this. You won't always have that opportunity. The day's going to come, Jesus says, you know, my spirit shall not always strive with man. One of these days, you're going to get the last invitation, and you never get another one. You remember when Noah built that ark? How many doors did he have in that ark? He had one door, just one door. And everything that entered that ark came through that one door, just like Jesus. And then you know what? Noah looked like it was going to rain, so he slammed the door shut. No, he didn't. He didn't touch that door. Genesis 7, verse 16 says, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord closed the door, God Almighty. And God's going to close the door for you someday. And if you keep turning Jesus away and refusing in your own stubborn way, then that door's going to close. And when it closes, it'll never open again. And I can just imagine when the floodwaters came and the people tried to get in and they couldn't get in because the door was closed and only God could close it and only God could open it. And so you need to come to Jesus. You won't always have that chance. In the early 1800s, there were many homesteaders in America and they all built log cabins. The remains of some of these cabins are still to be seen. And there was a cabin built by a man named Mark Pence. And one day he was out hunting rabbits with his little .22 rifle, and he's going to get something for supper. And he came around the bend, and there was a big, great big bear. And he shot the bear, and it didn't kill the bear. It only made him mad. And the bear took at him, and in panic, Pence just ran as fast as he could to the cabin to get in and slam the door shut. But when he got there, he was so nervous he couldn't open the latch, and the bear came up and killed him, and he was gone. Now, just think of this. He was just one inch away from that, just on the other side of that door. He could just step in. He was that close, but he didn't step in, and he was lost. And you can be that close, but it won't do you a bit of good when death comes, because after death is a judgment, and there's no accepting Jesus after death. There's no love of God for the unsaved after death. He loves you now, but not after death. And so the Bible teaches the door is closed. The fate is sealed. We cannot come anymore. God is going to say, I've called you for the last time. My spirit isn't going to be striving for you, and you need to come to Jesus. So he is the door. Now he says, I am the shepherd. And it could be translated, I am the shepherd, the good. If there's any one figure that represents our Lord, it's that of the shepherd. In Israel, the shepherd was a central figure. And everyone knew about the shepherd. And the function of the true shepherd was to take care of the sheep. But they were sometimes higher shepherds, and they were hirelings, and they didn't take care of the sheep, and the sheep suffered. And so Jesus is telling about this. And what he's saying in so many ways is the Pharisees are the hirelings and they haven't taken care of the people of God. And so the good shepherd comes and Jesus is that good shepherd. And this true Jesus is the true shepherd. And he takes the outcast and he takes it and he encourages us and he helps us and he saves our soul. And so we see Jesus as the true shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd. Psalm 22 says he gives his life for the sheep. Christ is the great shepherd. He cares for his sheep. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. I will come again in glory for his sheep. 1 Peter 5, 4, this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And then he talks about the sheep. And in verses 10, 11 to 14, if you have your Bibles, you can follow. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf come and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling. He doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am known of my sheep. I love my sheep. And Jesus eventually dies for his sheep. And upon that old rugged cross, he said in Luke 23, verse 46, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he gave up the spirit. The good shepherd purchased his life with his own sheep, with his own life. And so he's purchased the sheep. He knows the sheep. He knows our name. He knows our feelings. He knows our faults. He knows our nature. He knows all about us. The hairs of our head are numbered. Jesus didn't say counted, but he said numbered. When you lose one hair, a number is missing. The stars of the sky are like the sand by the sea. Jesus names the stars. God knows that. You say, I can't understand that. Well, are you God? Of course you don't understand it. You won't understand it till you get to heaven, and then I don't know all we'll understand, but I know it's true. And so this Lord Jesus Christ, he says that I'll take you, and all the days of my life, he's going to help me. 23rd Psalm, he says in the verse 1, he says, I shall not want. And in verse 6, the last verse, he says, all the days of my life. I'll never want, really want. All you need to really exist is bread and water. And all the rest is a bonus. Bread and water. You can live on bread and water, brother. And so Jesus says, he talks about being the good shepherd. And then he closes the scene. He says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. And we want to be careful here, because we not only is he the Son of God, he is God. There's a cult going around, and it's a lot of cults going around. And you ask them, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And they'll say, yes, but they're also teaching, if you're a member of their cult, you're a son of God. Well, now let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he always was the Son of God because he is God. I'm a son of God because I accepted Jesus. You're a son or a daughter of God because you accepted Jesus, but not like Jesus, because we became the children of God when we accepted Jesus, certain point in time, but there never was a time that Jesus Christ wasn't God. See, I am the Son of God. I am God. And so he's talking to them, and he says, there's a group of people around him now. He's on Solomon's porch, and they want to know, and they say, and they're asking him over and over, are you the Messiah? Are you the Messiah, the Son of God? Are you? And Jesus responds in verse 25, John chapter 10, verse 25. He says, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So Jesus says, I've done some works to show that I am the Son of God. For instance, in this very chapter, he has the cleansing of the temple. That was the power of God that could separate those men from their money and have them run like rats. Either the derelict at Bethesda, he is healed, the third one is the healing of the man born blind, and God heals him. Jesus heals him. And so then they see that he has this great power of God. And then Jesus says, I and my Father are one. That was his claim to divinity. I am the Son of God. I am God. And the people are saying, who are you? Who are you? And he's told them as plain as day. Now, why couldn't they understand that anyway? Well, Jesus tells us why. Verse 26, he tells us why they were blind, why they couldn't see that he was the Son of God. This is what he said, but you believe not because you're not my sheep. You don't belong to me. You don't have Jesus Christ in your life and your heart, and you have no hope in this world or in the world to come. And so they're blinded by them. And then he says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus is saying in so many words, I'll tell you why you don't understand. You don't understand because you're prejudiced, and you don't understand because you're not my sheep. But when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, my gracious, you'll understand, and your spiritual eyes will be open, and you can understand and see these things. That's that wonderful Savior. That's that wonderful Lord Jesus that he does for us, and he blesses and he helps us. And so then the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, we have eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You can become his sheep, and you can come only one way. You can't come by circumcision and works and rituals or baptism or anything else. You come by faith. And God tells us, I give unto them eternal life because it's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. You can't buy a gift. If I give you a beautiful diamond and you give me 5 cents for it, it's not a gift. You bought it for a nickel. And you cannot pay for a gift. Its gift is free charge. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so it's a gift of God is eternal life. We get it through receiving Jesus. And then what does he do? He says that he holds us in his hand. Look at verse 29. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. In other words, Jesus is saying, now this is what will happen. You're a poor lost sinner. You're on your way to hell. But when you open your heart to Jesus and ask him in, just say, Jesus, just to come in and take away my sins. Whosoever call in the name of the Lord will be saved. When you do that, you become a part of his family. You're a part of his flock, his sheep, and he holds you, and you'll never lose your salvation. That's what God says. And the next verse he says, and my Father that's greater than I holds my hands. How can you get loose from anything like that? Even if you wanted to, you couldn't. So come to Jesus. And we're praying today that I'm sure there's many of you that opened your heart to the Lord. And you just start to read your Bible, read the Gospel of John, and get into a church where they're preaching the Bible, or get some other Christians with you and study the Bible together. And then write to us and we'll pray for you and we'll send you some literature. And we're just praying that you'll be blessed by this ministry. But we need your help, and you need to write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002 Aberdeen, South Dakota, and 57402. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so you can count on every penny that you give. It'll be spent carefully. So I'm going to pray now, Lord. I want to thank you for those who have opened their heart to you. Bless them and strengthen them. Help them grow in grace. To those who are on sick beds or shut-ins or can't get out in the middle of the winter now, oh, just help them to know that you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. Always be with them. So, dear Lord, we just pray that you'll just help us to lean on you, give peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we just thank you all for the letters that you have sent. Many of you sent letters. And we thank you for your gifts. We have to have your help. And we watch very carefully. The ECFA watches us with not only what we take in, but what we give out. And we use it all for the glory of God and the preaching of the gospel. So now we start the new year, and we're praying for you that God will be with you. There'll be some troubles and trials. There'll be blessings and joys. But in and through it all, there'll be the Savior, the wonderful shepherd of the sheep, leading us and guiding us. And none of us will be lost, because he will ever watch over us and keep us. And he holds us in his hand, his wonderful hands. Oh, I rejoice. I accepted Jesus 84 years ago. And it's among the most wonderful thing in my life. And sometimes I've drifted from the Lord, haven't been as faithful as I should be. But he never let go. He chastened me and talked to me and brought me back. He'll do the same with you, because he loves you. So you have a good week. God bless you. We're going to be looking for you next week. And the Lord willing, always the Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.